Good morning. How are we? Are we good? Can we just take a moment and just honor the Lord? Can we just close our eyes for a moment and put your hands out? Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for your presence, Lord. We honor this holy moment of being in your house. Lord, I pray that you would draw people to your heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would heal people's bodies. Lord, we honor you in this place. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, well, we just wrapped up our summer youth conference called Sons and Daughters, and we had a wild time. Yeah, make some noise. It was absolutely crazy. The Lord started to move extremely powerfully on Thursday night of our youth conference. And over the conference, we saw 97 spontaneous baptisms. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. 33 salvations. It was absolutely wild. And the Holy Spirit has been increasing his presence over the last year in our house. And we've been trying to increase our obedience and our awareness to him. And I think that's a word for some of us, is that we need to increase our obedience to the Lord. And so as a house, we've been learning to steward that. We've been trying to figure out what does it look like when someone gets spontaneously baptized, and then we gotta get them discipled, so we gotta plug them into a group, and we're trying to figure all the things out. But it's been absolutely amazing. And last week, I got a crazy notification. And one thing I wanna encourage us in the first service is we're gonna cheer extremely loud when we hear testimonies, amen? Because the testimony is about King Jesus doing something. And so last week I was on my way to Colorado with some of our staff members for a National Vineyard Conference. And I get a text that this kid named Josiah did this thing with some of our other junior hires, a thing called Revival Light. Can we show that photo real quick? They have this thing. They did this after Sons and Daughters, so this was this last Sunday. They decided to gather some people and preach the gospel. And so these are some of the photos of our junior hires, 7th and 8th grade. 7 people got saved that day. 7 people gave their life to Christ. Come on. This is the gospel. This is the good news of the Lord. And so my heart this morning is burning way brighter than it ever has. I have seen too much to settle for anything else than the fullness of Jesus in my life. I've been through too much to settle for anything less. And so my encouragement today is that you would lean in, because we're gonna look at some scripture that'll help us ground our spontaneous baptisms, that we're seeing some salvations and things like that. We're gonna ground ourselves in the Word of God this morning. And one of the things that I would encourage you is don't judge what God is doing, whether it's the manifestation or the method. We wanna be in celebration and in step with the Spirit. And so one thing that God has done in me is that he's challenged how I see the gospel being preached. He's challenged what it looks like to me. And so we're gonna pray, and we're gonna invite the Holy Spirit to come in and empower us, to convict us, to draw people even more to his heart. And so I know we've prayed once, but we're in church, we can pray again. And let's pray, and we'll get into today's message. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much. I thank you that you saved those 7 kids this week. God, I thank you that you're gonna have people be baptized this service. Holy Spirit, I pray that we would sound like heaven when someone comes to you. And so, Lord, we love you, and we honor, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're in a summer series called the Summer of the Spirit. And the Spirit has been moving powerfully, and we're gonna look at Acts chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles, I'm an old school Baptist kid, so I always have my Bible. Any fellow converts from Baptists? Yeah, praise God. The Baptist taught me how to love the Word of God deeply. And so I love this passage of scripture in Acts chapter 10, because it shares about how the gospel transforms Peter and an entire group of people. And so what happens is in Acts chapter 10, this guy named Cornelius, a Roman centurion, sends for Peter from the city called Joppa. Now, Cornelius has this vision from the Lord with an angel where there's a sheet coming down, and I wanna read this vision to you. In the beginning of Acts chapter 10, Cornelius sends for Peter because of a vision he has with the Lord. Some guys are sent to bring Peter from Joppa to Caesarea, but while Peter is journeying and approaching the city, he goes up on a rooftop to pray in the 6th hour. While praying on the rooftop, Peter falls into a trance. Some of us call our prayer times trances because we fall asleep. No, I'm just kidding. I've done that before. Like, Lord, you know what I meant. Peter falls into a trance. He sees a large sheet descending from heaven held by its four corners. Inside are all kind of animals, clean and unclean according to the Jewish law. A voice says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter refuses, saying he has never eaten anything impure. The voice replies, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happens three times, and the sheet is taken back to heaven. Now, this vision might seem like, that's kind of weird. Does that mean we can eat bacon all we want? No, that is not what it's talking about. What it's talking about in this scripture is offending Peter's mind. This story is offensive. This vision is actually offensive to Peter. The reason being is because in Jewish custom and culture, it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with anyone or anything that is considered unclean. It is unlawful for them to call someone, a person that is uncommon or unclean, it is unlawful for them to even associate with them. And yet, Peter is headed to a Roman centurion's house. The gospel calls you to people you don't associate with. And so Peter is being drawn in by the Spirit of the Lord to have this whisper conversation. See, Jesus was using this vision to address an issue within Peter's heart. He's addressing a problem with Peter. Cornelius describes this vision as this angel of the Lord, and Peter's aware of what an angel of the Lord looks like. He's describing this and saying, "Hey, Peter, come to my house. This is why. This is what I need." And Peter is like, okay, but Peter's call was just to the Jews. His call was to preach the gospel to the Jews. Paul's call was to preach to the Gentiles. And so this Roman centurion would be considered a Gentile, so Peter's already kind of stepping out onto this water yet again with Jesus. And he's now being called to preach the gospel to what he used to deem unclean. Are you with me? You know, I've heard some people say that God calls the unlikely people. Anyone else ever heard that? I'm not a fan of that saying. I love people giggling right now because they're like, oh, he's about to say something crazy. I don't like that saying because what it does, I feel like, just personally what I've seen, is that when we say God calls the unlikely, we look around the room instead of ourselves. And we judge who is unlikely. Oh, that person needs Jesus. And it's like, bro, you just judged them. You need Jesus even more. Because when we say he calls the unlikely, we forget we were once unlikely. We forget he's still calling you and beckoning you to his heart. And so when we say, oh, it's the unlikely, we go, well, I guess they really need him more than me. Peter was not realizing God was calling him to preach the gospel to those he deemed unlikely, because he forgot he was once unlikely. There's something Peter learns in this passage that shifts the course of Peter's life. Let's look in Acts chapter 10, verse 34. It says, "So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.'" God shows no partiality. What I love about this passage, what I love about this thing is that Peter needed a revelation before he could declare something. God has to do some stuff in us before he can do stuff through us. So Peter has this realization, oh my gosh, I thought the gospel was about this big. I thought the gospel was this tall, this small. And Peter's realizing, oh my gosh, I have left out an entire group of people. Let me ask a question. I used to work not in a church, and I used to deal with people who were unsaved all the time. When's the last time we've shared the gospel? in your workplace. And I don't mean to say that to be like, well, you don't know my life. What I want to say is that means we have partiality thinking. I would love, this is just me, to hear a story of someone being like, I preached the gospel and they didn't know what to do with me after. There is just a level of where I think God and this move of God that's happening within our church, within this nation, within our city, within our college group, youth, kids, adults, that some things might have to shift a little bit. I think this morning could be the shift. I think this morning could be the permission for some of us to go preach the gospel every day in any place. I had some students on Thursday send me a text and a photo. They went onto campus, high schoolers, and preached the gospel. On U of I, just went out and they decided to preach the gospel. Yeah, you can let's celebrate that, come on. Now, here's the beautiful thing. The goal wasn't that they had to get every person they preached to saved. The goal was that they knew a man named Jesus and he was searching for him. And that's the beautiful thing, is that when we realize the gospel's for everyone, we're not worried about the results. We're just worried about proclaiming the gospel. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself because I want to... Okay, here we go. All right. We're going to go to verse 36. This is the heart of Peter's call to people. It says, as for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. If you have your Bible, I want you to underline that. He's not the Lord of part of your life. He's the Lord of all of your life. And most of the time, our frustrations happen when he's not the Lord of our entire life. Peter's making a statement very clear. He's the Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened through all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. And this is the heart of the gospel. In 6 verses, I believe. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You have been chosen to hear the gospel, receive the gospel, and to share the gospel. Amen? That's the call of a Christian. You can celebrate that if you want. You've been called to hear the gospel, receive the gospel, and preach the gospel. This was Peter's call. And this doesn't mean that you might stand up here one day and preach the gospel. In fact, it might mean that your life just became the pulpit. We are called as the body of Christ. It is not determined about your personality type, your job occupation, what you do on Mondays. It is about Jesus and him alone. If a seventh grader, this is what I've been telling myself, if a seventh grader can go preach the gospel and see 10 of his friends saved, I can tell someone at a gas station about the gospel. I have to be there anyway, right? This is the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. If he calls you to it, he equips you for it. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He equips us to do that. And I just want to be in love telling you this. Peter says, this is a command from the Lord. A command is not about our personality. It is not about our opinions. It's all about our obedience to it. There's been many times I didn't feel like obeying. But there's this thing inside me that says, if he says it, that settles it. I haven't always been that way. I'm still trying. But there's just something where I don't care what it looks like anymore. I just don't. And it could be that I'm 32. Everyone thinks I'm an extrovert. I'm an extreme introvert. I go home and read a book and hide in a corner. That's how I recharge. I'll do that today. Literally at like 1:30, I will be in a corner
oh God, I hope that was great. Like,
because the gospel has done so much for me. The man Jesus has saved me over and over again. So I can't help but talk about him. And what I love about Peter is he preaches a simple gospel. He doesn't make it 30 minutes with 3 points and 10 to 15 illustrations and all those things. He just says, listen, this is what Jesus has done for me and this is who he is. Would you like to know him? So there's an easy way to share the gospel. Can I tell you a story of how it's happened in my life? John Hutchison and I are runners. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we are runners. We actually have a 32-mile race coming up this Thursday for his birthday. Isn't that crazy? We just decided to go, hey, let's go run 32 miles for you turning 32. Don't know if that's smart, but we're doing it, okay? We can talk about that later. All right, so we're out on a long run on a hot day. We're running through campus, and we're coming up Lincoln in Pennsylvania. We're both just kind of trotting along, and John and I have ran together a lot. We've got probably close, I think I looked on Strava, 700 miles together. And we've been running. Running. So we're, and this also, we hear this guy behind us. Finally, I caught you guys. Now listen, as pastors, there's sometimes you don't recognize people and inside you're like, yeah, this wasn't one of those times. We turn around, I'm like, I have no idea who this dude is. And so we just stop and John's like, I have no idea either, man. He goes, oh, man, you guys ran past my dorm. I finally caught you. How do you guys run in perfect stride together? And John's like, I mean, we've ran a lot together. Like, it was hot, we're tired. He's like, well, can I just run with you guys? Sure. So we start running down Lincoln, we pass Florida, we're going down. And John's like, well, let's get some water in this park. I'm like, yeah. So we go to this park, the guy comes with us. He's like, so what are you guys doing here? And you know, sometimes when you say, I'm a pastor, people are like, see ya. And we're both like, we're pastors at the Vineyard Church. He's like, are you kidding me? I was like, oh dear God. What did I just, I cursed or something, my gosh. And he's like, dude, this morning and late last night, it's the first time I've ever prayed. I have so many questions about faith. And I'm like, you trying to run a little longer? And so we go back on Lincoln and John and I are running. And John and I just have this look. You know, we get this nickname called the Sons of Thunder around here because we're just wild and crazy for the Lord. The Sons of Thunder looked at each other and we thundered very loudly. John's like, listen, man, let me tell you my story. And we're mid-stride. He starts telling his testimony of how God has saved him, delivered him, healed him. And then I start sharing my testimony and the Spirit of God comes over this kid. And he's like, you know, we're trying to run. We turn and we're like, man, you need Jesus. We didn't make Jesus an addition. We said, you need Jesus. Yeah. It's not an addition. It's an only. Yeah. You need the Lord. And so we start praying for this kid as we're running down. He's like, I got to get back to my dorm. And you can just see the presence of God all over this kid. He had no context for why he was running like. Because we were moving slow, too. It wasn't like we were sprinting. He was just, so we get there. And he's like, oh, my knee's been bothering me. And John's like, let's pray for your knee. And he's like, okay. And you know how we teach in the Vineyard? This was not the case. He just goes, I guess so. So we're praying and he's looking dead at us. And we're like, is it any better? like, what's happening? And John and I like high-five each other. We have to go finish our long run. And then all of a sudden on Strava, which is a running app, this kid posts something and tags us. Can we show this photo? Stretching the legs out with John and Samuel. A lot to think about after this one. Come on. The gospel got this kid thinking that he needs a savior. And what's interesting is we were all waiting for the kid to post and I got saved. All we needed was a seed. And he likes every one of our runs. He's looking forward to coming back from California to run with us all. He wants to come to the Vineyard Church. Like it is an actual gospel preaching. And it was casual. It wasn't weird. Because Jesus is the only, not an addition. It wasn't weird. And this matters to me because he's brought me through so much. For those of us who are saved, how much has he brought you through that we have forgotten? It's not hard to preach the gospel when he's on the forefront of your mind. It's not hard to preach the gospel when you remember that he pulled you out of those things. It's not hard to preach the gospel when you realize how much he loves you. You see, in that run, I'll be honest, we weren't trying to share the gospel. We just knew if we weren't obedient, we would regret it later. And I think that's the call for some of us. Would you just be obedient and not worried about the outcome? Just be obedient. In Peter preaching, I want to pick up in verse 44. It says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Isn't it funny that the believers were the ones shocked and not the unbelievers? This is why the culture of celebration must be a thing in the church again. I'm not saying just this church, I'm saying in the Big C church. If we cannot celebrate that the same Holy Spirit that pulled you out is pulling someone out, we have a problem. Here's what happened at Sons and Daughters. I'm gonna read this real quick. It says in verse 47, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. I love this. There was not a 12-week discipleship program for Peter. Discipleship is critical. So critical that I wrote a 2-year catechism for students to go through to understand their faith. But in this moment, it wasn't about discipling someone into baptism. It was baptizing them and then discipling them after. And sometimes God flips the script on us. He flips the script on what he's doing in our house, and honestly, it offends our minds sometimes. Like at Sons and Daughters, can I explain what happened? Who's heard the story? You heard me this morning, 97 kids got baptized. Can I tell you from my perspective what happened? Is that okay? So we're one song deep into our first session, half a song. Dale's leading. I can't wait to post these videos. The Lord has done something in Dale so powerfully that when she was singing this song, I kid you not, seriously, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit was so powerful in the room that kids were getting delivered and they weren't even trying to be delivered. Like there was just something about pouring your life on the altar publicly. And so she's halfway through the song, I'm standing right over there, and this girl runs through the crowd. And I'm kind of like watching this thing. I'm like, what's about to happen? And she's just beelining it towards me. She cries out, I thought I knew him, but I don't. Would you lead me to Jesus, Samuel? And I'm like, listen, we're at a church conference for church kids. That's my mentality. God's offending my mind right now. Like, son, do you not think I would bring the lost to you? I'm like, no, we're at a church conference. So I'm praying for this girl. And all of a sudden, Kirsten's like, listen, we can't sing the next song without, and I literally run from up there on video, run all the way up here, and I tap her. She pulls her in ear out. I'm like, whatever you're about to say, God is saving people. I have no idea what she's about to say. None of this is planned. And so she does an altar call, and 29 students run to the front to give their life to Jesus. Not like this. Run. They run to give their life to Christ. And I'm in the corner going, what is happening right now? My friend John, he's like, dude, I got it. Grabs his phone. He's like, are you getting saved or recommitted? I'm like, this is why you need friends who are gifted in areas you're not. Because I'm standing there going, and John's like, are you saved? Like, taking all these notes, getting things done. And then all of a sudden, we get into the second song, and I'm standing in the corner like, wow, Lord, undone by this. This female leader walks up from another church, and her two students, they go, Samuel, would you baptize us? And I'm like, huh? We don't have a service tonight, ma'am. Like, I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, no, I got to call a bunch of people right now. I said, you know what, give me 30 seconds. I call Mike Yoder 10 times. for him to pick up. I'm like, call Mike. I'm like, hey, we have kids wanting to get baptized. Is there any way we can put a tub on the middle of the stage? This is what I love about our leadership at the church. He didn't ask me questions. He literally said these words, green light, Samuel. And I was like, oh, shouldn't have said that. Click. So literally, we're 3 songs deep, okay? We're 12 minutes into this opening set and mad chaos has erupted. My planning center stuff didn't work out that morning, okay, or that evening. So I'm like, okay, what is happening? I get John, I get Sean, I get a bunch of the guys. We put a tub right here. We were gonna put it back there, but we got here. The presence of God hits this entire building. Yeah. Kevin Beck instead is carrying towels, one of my leaders, and falls over under the power of the Spirit, just carrying towels. It's on video. I was laughing about it last night. Wow, praise God. John Hutchison looks like he's walking like this because the presence of God is so heavy. It is just mad chaos in this room. 350 people, mad chaos. And I'm standing over there asking our guest speaker who's seen 7,000 baptisms in 7 years, they've been in revival for 7 years, what to do, because I have no clue. So we finally get the tub up here, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God breaks in, and 52 kids get spontaneously baptized night one. No one preached after that. It was just the presence of God. And listen, God is hunting and finding people in this very room. He is looking, he is finding, he's been pulling on your heart this entire morning because he draws all men unto himself. Acts 10 makes it very, very clear. Preach and testify about Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes, people are baptized and transformed. That is the gospel. And I think sometimes we need to hear these stories about revival, about what God is doing, and pictures and photos, because God needs to break something in our heart for humanity. We sometimes forget what he did for us. I forget what he's done for us. I forget that I was a little boy, just born, dying, and God heals me with 2 holes in my lungs. I forget I was the kid in a back brace who could barely walk, and God radically heals me. I forget I'm the same kid who watched his dad get murdered in front of people. I'm the same kid who tried to kill himself, and God rescued me. I'm the same kid that he pulled out of those things. You're the same person, just empowered by Jesus. That's what it is. We cannot forget what he's done for us. And this is what's happening with the youth. They're declaring what God is doing. This is what's happening in his church. We are declaring what God is doing. The glory of the Lord is meant to be seen. So why baptisms? Why have we all sitting had a tank up here? Because the river is seeking people out. The river is finding people. The love of God is drawing people. He is being lifted up and people are running because they cannot get out of their stuff. This isn't just a symbol to us. This is a supernatural act. We had one student get baptized on Friday night who was a witch when she came here. Her friend came up. I don't know if it was with Zoe or Aubrey. One of the girls, I asked them to come pray with me. She's like, my roommate is a witch. She's been cursing this conference. And I'm not leaving my room because I know who's in me. And I want to be like, girl, give me a high five. I'm like, come on. But I said, what do you want to see? She goes, I want to see her baptized. I'm like, that's kind of savage. All right. So we pray that morning. And wouldn't you know it, the girl that baptizes the witch was her roommate. Her friend gave her life to Christ that night. She came up and got baptized. And why I say this is because we don't believe that it's just a symbol. We believe it is like a mighty grip of God's hand when you get in that water. And he rips off the things that are oppressing you. He rips out the sin that is putting you in bondage. That thing isn't just water. It's God's hand ripping those things off of you. Dead and alive in Christ. Dead, alive in Christ. And then we disciple you after. How do you do that? Well, here's how you do that. You hear the gospel, you receive the gospel, and then you share the gospel. This is on the street, this is in your job, this is within your family, within your friends, to the person that you cannot stand at work. People will be saved, healed, and delivered. My question is, do you want to be the one doing it with Jesus? And listen, if you're by a fountain, guess what you have? An honorary baptismal. If you have a pool, I'll be there also to baptize people. No, I'm kidding. But if you have a pool, honorary baptismal. If you're by a pond or a lake or a river or any source of water, guess what? You're commissioned to preach the gospel, to see people saved, and to baptize them. On Thursday, I get a text from one of our students as we're flying to Colorado. Hey, guess what? A little spontaneous baptism form pops through. I just baptized my friend in a lake. Come on, right? Let's celebrate that. Yes, Jesus, someone else got baptized by a student in a lake. This is what God is doing. This is what God is doing. It's not that we're now just a spontaneous baptism church. That's just an addition to what God is doing in his house. Are we the deliverance church because there were so many kids that got delivered? Yes, but in addition to what God is doing. Are we the crazy, I don't know, healing church? Of course we are, because it's an addition to what God is doing. So what is God doing? He's making his glory seen and his power known. And he's using everyone. Would you stand if you're able? Listen, I'm a fiery person, I know that. But I wanna make an altar call really quickly. I believe what God is doing is he's calling people now to run to the front. And here's my calls for you. One, if you've never said yes to Jesus, listen, if you've never said yes to Jesus, your life will never get better. In fact, it'll just get worse. You need someone to save you from what you cannot save yourself from, which is sin and death. There's a man named Jesus who lived 2,000 years ago, who was beaten beyond recognition, was hung on a tree, cried out, "It is finished," so you could be saved. And today is your day. We're taking communion in a little bit, and I'm gonna ask, if you're not a believer, let that thing pass from you, because it means nothing to you. But today's the day, it could mean everything. If you have never said yes to Jesus, and here's how you know. You would know if you have. You would know that you've said yes to him. If you've never said yes to Jesus, I'm gonna ask that you come out of your chair, you come right over here right now, and no more waiting. The Lord is calling you, he's beckoning you. So if you've never said yes to Jesus, I want you to come to the front, right up here, and run. It's the best thing for you to be saved. Number two is this. If you need to rededicate your life to Jesus, and this is how you know. You claim to be a Christian, but your life doesn't speak it. If you need to go, "Lord, I'm going a little astray. I want to rededicate my life to you," I want you to come down to the front as well. If you're like, "Man, I need to rededicate my life right now," don't wait. We don't need to wait. The gospel's been preached. The Holy Spirit is here. Number three is this. Yeah, come on. Come right up here. Come on. I'm so proud of you. Let's go. Jesus loves you. And the third call is this. You've never been water baptized. You've said yes to Jesus. You've never been water baptized. You've been in dark places and you need Jesus. Come get baptized this morning, or call people, tell them to come next service and get baptized. But the reality is baptism's gonna rip things from your life you can't get out of. The last call, I know there's four. So it's first time, rededication, you've been saved, but you haven't been baptized. The last is this. You've run from Jesus. You've messed with things that you shouldn't mess with. You've rejected him. Come and be baptized and brought back into the family like a prodigal son. Come back in. We've got a team here to discern, and I believe the Lord is gonna start moving powerfully. So as we worship, I'm gonna be up here. John's got a team up here. We wanna pray with you. We love you. Holy Spirit, let me pray. Holy Spirit, right now, convict the hearts of those who need you. Father, I pray that you would draw people who do not know you, those who have gone astray. Lord, I pray right now that we would celebrate the power of baptism, the power of salvation. For we are not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of salvation. And so, Lord, we love you and we honor you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.